Good to see you today. The Lord has blessed us in many, many ways in His Son Jesus Christ, and with an opportunity like this to worship together is among those blessings. As Brother Connor has read for us in Isaiah, this 26th chapter, this great song of salvation, He keeps us in perfect peace when our mind is stayed on Him. And it is in that restful place of harmony with God, the assured hope that we have in Him of our forgiveness in His Son, and of the strength of His salvation, and of the righteousness of His judgments, that we praise His name, that we honor and adore Him in this worship, and that we encourage you to focus your mind now for a few minutes together upon His Word for our lives, to help us as we study together what His will is for us. As we have entitled the lesson this morning, Learned Behavior, we want to begin by remembering that it is certainly a wise thing to keep on learning throughout our lives. In Proverbs, the first chapter, and in verse 5, the Word of God says, "A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel." And so it is a mark of wisdom that we continue to listen and to grow in learning. That we must never reach a place. Wisdom does not reach a place where it says, "I've learned enough. I have discerned enough. I've understood enough." No, wisdom is that we continue to receive the instruction that comes from God, to receive the instruction of wisdom, verse 3 says. Justice, judgment, and equity. Verse 2 says, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. It is right and good and wise that we continue to learn what God's Word is, what God's wise counsel is. But then we must take what we learn and translate that then into the conduct of our lives. We must use and practice what we learn. There, a form of learning is where the teacher speaks and we listen and we receive information, right? And I suppose that's what we're all doing here this morning. With God's Word, we need to be listening to what He says, learning what God says, understanding it, and then translating that into our conduct. Because see, not only does the word learn apply to receiving input, receiving information, but it also is used in Scripture to use and practice what one has received. That is, to set a habit, to be accustomed to a certain practice. We learn not only, sometimes we call it book learning and then living, right? Book sense and common sense, another way we sometimes talk about it. Bible talks about learning in both ways. And I'd like for us this morning to particularly focus upon learning through use and practice. It's learning by the habits that we set, that we are accustomed to in our lives. Because we do read of some people in the Scriptures who are described as ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. How is it that somebody can receive the information from God, from His Word, and yet never understand? Never really come to a knowledge. Ever learning, but never really know. Well, the Bible answers that in several different ways. The condition of the heart is fundamental to answering that question. Why has that happened? Jesus taught the parable of the seed and the soils. And He described our hearts when the Word of God is preached. And if you'll look at that parable, and you'll see the point is made repeatedly about the proclamation, the word preach, when we hear a message, what kind of heart do we have when we listen? Do we hear it but not learn it? Do we hear it, understand it, but not then learn it by habit and conduct. Isaiah 26:10, the very next verse from our reading this morning, says, "Let grace be known to the wicked, yet he will not learn righteousness. In the land of the upright, of uprightness, he will deal unjustly and will not behold the majesty of the Lord." How is it that that some will not learn righteousness? Well, because they have given themselves to wickedness. They have given themselves to dealing unjustly. They've learned the habit of sin. We can learn the habit of sin and we can learn the habit of righteousness. Let's talk about learning sin for a few minutes. Sinning is a learned behavior. The Bible says the soul that sins, it will die. That is an action word. I got a question a couple weeks ago. Explain the difference between the noun sins and the verb sins. Well, noun identifies what the sin is and the verb describes when you're doing it. That pretty much is the way I understand it. The soul that sins will die. Now, we don't inherit that. We're not forced to do that. There is a choice that we make when we sin. Sin is the result of choices. Romans 5 and verse 10 said, "Through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin. Therefore sin passed to all men, because all have sinned." I mean, I don't know what other verse we need. There are many others. But we can take that one verse and we can answer this whole idea of a corrupt human nature. We can answer the idea of being born sinners. Sin comes to all men because all sinned. And so we begin to involve ourselves in the action of sin. When sin is committed, 1 John 3:4 identifies sin as what is committed. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin begins in the heart with concept, but even in the heart, we are committing ourselves to attitudes. We are committing ourselves to things, when wrong, that are violating God's will. And so there is the action of the heart within the heart, and that then shows itself in our conduct. Let me illustrate what we're describing in Psalm 106. Israel learned the sin of the nations. It says Psalm 106. Begin our reading in verse 34. "They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them." That is the Canaanites. He says, "But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed their sons and their daughters to demons and shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds." Yes, the Canaanites were idolaters, and for their sin, God was removing them by the sword, by His sword, as Israel came and took the land. But Israel corrupted herself by learning sin. They learned the sin of the Gentiles. Verse 35, "They learned their works so that it became their works." When they learned it, they began practicing idolatry so that now they are defiled by their own works. See, it's not the sin of the world around us that defiles us. It's our own work. It's the sin we commit that defiles us. We learn it from the nations. We learn it because it offers pleasure to us. We learn sin within our own life. We learn the pleasure of sin, and by practicing it, sin rules over us. Talking about the nature of sin now, talking about understanding what is going on when the world sets sin before us, when the devil is at work tempting us to sin. He uses the allurement of immediacy, of reward, of satisfaction, of pleasure to entice us to choose sin. The pleasures of sin, Hebrews 11:25 are talked about. We must admit and realize sin is pleasurable. It pleases us in some way. If not, we would not do it. It's poison, but we're deceived because it presents itself as pleasurable, as satisfying, attractive, and even necessary in our lives. Oh yes, the devil tempts us to believe that even things that God says are sin are somehow necessary for us. And they're not. But it presents itself as pleasure, pleasurable. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 talks about those who did not have a love of the truth, but took pleasure in unrighteousness. It's when we choose the pleasure of unrighteousness that we sin. And when we keep fulfilling that choice, sin becomes our habit. Sin is teaching us to return to it over and over and over. So sin is teaching us to have the habit, to have the custom of sin. Genesis 3 and verse 6, when the serpent is tempting Eve and having laid the temptations before her because he accuses God and he addresses her pride and her desires, the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and desirable to make one wise. Look at those words. Good, pleasant, desirable. That's how sin portrays itself. Something I need food. God said, you've got plenty of food, just not from that tree. The temptation is, it's pleasant, it's attractive. God says, that one shouldn't be attractive to you. It's desirable because I'll benefit from it. And I need it to progress. And God says, no, you need to desire me and my will and the blessings I give you, not what I've told you will separate you from me. Sin teaches us. Sin is teaching us to return to it. Why do people return to sin? Why is it we go? Because I use the word addict in terms of habit choices that we become addicted because we choose it over and over again. Now, I know there are chemical dependencies in the body that are developed when somebody, and we use that word addict in that respect. But you know, you got to start the heroin to keep doing the heroin. You got to choose it to start with. You got to choose the pornography to keep doing the pornography. You got to choose it. And you keep choosing it. Free will is not surrendered because your body is saying, give me this chemical. Give me this rush. Give me this high. We're not going to be able to answer to God, oh God, I had an addiction to the needle. I had an addiction to the nicotine. I had addiction to the bottle. I had addiction to sex. No, sin's a choice. And we work our ways back, and choices are made, and choices continue to be made. Sin is a habit that is learned. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted to God, because God cannot be tempted with sin, neither does He tempt any man. But each one is tempted. I'm tempted, you're tempted, we're all tempted. Each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own lusts, his own desires, and enticed. And the desire, when it has conceived, bears sin. And the sin, when it's full grown, brings death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. And so you have the temptation urging the fulfillment of the desire, enticing us to choose it. When we choose it, we sin. And the sin produces death. And we must not deceive ourselves. Sin rules us because we yield to it. Because we obey it. Romans 6 and verse 12 uses that terminology very clearly. He says that we are the servants whom we obey. Romans 6 and 12, therefore do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lusts. Don't let it reign there. Don't let it find a place there. Don't become accustomed to it, because by obeying it, you have learned how to sin. It's ruling you. It's ruling you. We're taught not to learn sin. We're warned against it. I want to show you some of these warnings rather quickly. I'm not going to use a whole lot of time here, but I want to point them out to you. Jeremiah 10, 1 and 2. Hear the words which the Lord speaks to you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord. All right, listen, the Lord's saying this. Do not learn the way of the Gentiles. Do not be dismayed at the signs of heaven. For the Gentiles are dismayed at them. For the customs of the peoples are futile. And he goes on to talk about their idolatry. The very thing that Israel did. They disobeyed God. They learned the ways of the Gentiles. God says, don't learn sin. Don't learn it. Don't let it form a habit within you. Don't choose it to start with, and don't let it form a habit within you. Don't learn it by taking it, the knowledge in, and don't learn it by actually doing it. Again, Proverbs 22, 24, and 25. We're taught not to learn the way of the angry man. Don't learn the ways of the angry man. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man do not go, lest you learn his ways and set a snare for your soul. He said, don't learn his ways, because then you ensnare yourself. He said, don't go that route. Don't accept those kind of reactions and responses as proper. Evil companionships corrupt good morals, and that also is true if you're of the influence of an angry person. Don't learn his ways. Again, in Isaiah 2 and verse 4, you remember in the prophecy of the kingdom of which we are members now, which is now established, that it said they will learn war. They will no longer learn war. They will learn war no more. They'll beat their swords into plowshares. Right. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Learn war. How do you learn war? Well, you learn war because you allow envy and jealousies and strifes to bring conflict. That's taught in James 4, verses 1 through 3. War is learned. We learn we can gain an advantage. We can take something. So we fight. We learn the practice. Learn the habit of war. It's a choice. And we can choose it and become very familiar with it. In our home, with our spouse, our husband or our wife, as well as nations. We can learn it in the church. The church can always be feuding and fighting about something. We can learn war. It's a practice that begins in the heart, but it's a learned behavior. It's a choice. Learn war no more. We are not to learn to be idle. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 13. Women were told that the young widows were told to marry. Don't be drawn into sensual living, because he says some being idle until now, they are disrupting in their lives. It says, besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Learn not to be idle. Be productive, be active. Take the role that God has given you as a woman, he says there. Particularly, he's talking about, he says, you need to, if you. So he says, I desire the younger widows to marry, bear children, manage the home. Accept your role. Don't be idle, because in idleness comes many sins. It's a learned behavior. Become idle. Start doing and saying things that you ought not, because you're not being busy in the Lord's will. The Bible says, do not learn to blaspheme. Don't learn to blaspheme. 1 Timothy 1:20, in fact, he says, I've delivered Hymenaeus and Philetus to deliver them to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. They may learn not to blaspheme. They had made shipwreck concerning the faith. They had strayed from the truth. And they were impacting the lives of others. And so he delivers them to Satan. He marks them for their error and evil that they might learn not to blaspheme. They might repent. They might set a different habit, a different course of conduct. So the question comes to us, am I learning sin? Am I learning to sin? Am I becoming comfortable with sin in my life? Has it become a habit that I accommodate? If so, I must radically change my heart. More on that in a minute. Right now, we just want to identify the reality. Sin, yes, we can fall into a sin, but we can also develop it. And by our accustomed behavior, condition ourselves in that sin. Now, are things hopeless if we do that? No, they're not. We'll get to that in a minute. But I also see that godliness is a learned behavior. The Bible says in Isaiah, the first chapter, verses 16 and 17. Isaiah 1, 16 and 17. You know, Israel had fallen into many sins. Judah and Jerusalem were greatly defiled by sin. But God said, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Put away the evil from your doings, of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. He says, learn to do good. And you see, he couches that within practical things that are now to be done. A habit, a different habit is to be set. As you put away the evil, you set the habit, you seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend those who need to be defended, the fatherless, the widow. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Look at verse 19. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. We have to learn to do good in practicing it. Be willing and obedient. There's the obedient part of the behavior that is learned by practice, by habit, making it that to which we are accustomed. Matthew 9 and verse 13, Jesus said, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. Look at that verse with me. Matthew 9, 13th verse. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice. For I did not come to call the righteous but sinners to repentance. How do you go and learn what that means? Don't you understand what that means? He says, God desires mercy. And I said, what does he mean? Well, there's several applications. Obviously, he wants more than an outward display. What does he also want? He wants us to practice mercy. That was the problem. Those people were practicing no mercy. They said, your teacher eats with tax collectors and sinners. Jesus said, go learn this. You need to show some mercy. You need to go learn it. You need to practice it, not just talk about it. See, we need to do more than talk about things as Christians. We need to do them. So when we talk about them but we don't do them, what is that? Like we studied that this morning. We're a hypocrite. Learn to do good. Learn it and do it. That's what God wants from us. Turn with me back to Isaiah 26:9, where we had our reading this morning. Connor read for us. In Isaiah 26 and verse 9, note that it said, when God's judgments are in the land, in the earth, the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness. God's judgments, His revelation, His Word, His truth, gives us the opportunity to learn righteousness. Not just to take it as information, but to actually live in righteousness. to actually have a faith that's counted for righteousness, to learn good by our habit, by our practice, by our conduct. After all, Jesus sent His apostles into the world to preach the gospel to every creature. He said, teaching all nations. Teaching. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. So you teach them, you baptize them, and you teach them. Why? So they can learn. Why? So they can live. Why do we learn the Bible? So we can live the Bible. That's exactly how the Father draws sinners to Christ. John 6:44 says, they shall all be taught of God. Everyone therefore who has heard from the Father and has learned comes to me. Now, don't wait for the Father to speak to you in your mind, in your head sometime at 3 a.m. at night. The Father is speaking to you right now in His Word. You need to listen to the Father now and come to Jesus. Now. You see, you need to learn that with the information, but more than just knowing it, when He says, come to Him, He says, I want you to live it. I want you to actually learn the good. Not just know that it's right to be baptized, but in the decision to be baptized, you are now committing yourself to learn the good, to practice the good, to have that custom and habit at the core of who you are. Which we learn from the Scriptures. Sometimes we never learn what is good because we go to the wrong source. We go to our own pride, or we go to somebody else in our life instead of going to the Word of God. Romans 15:4 says, the things that were written before time were written for our learning, that through patience and hope of the, and comfort of the Scriptures we might have hope. The things written are there for us to learn. Now, we don't follow the Old Testament now, but what it does is set us on a course, He said, of leading us to the salvation that's found in Jesus. And we use the Old Testament to learn so we can maintain a habit of living that pleases God in His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Timothy 3:14 through 17, that's exactly what Paul said. He said, you must continue in the things which you've learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them, and that from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament there in Paul, in Timothy's life. The Holy Scriptures were the Hebrew Scriptures. You've known them as a child, and now they're able to make you wise unto salvation through faith that's in Christ Jesus. Did you catch verse 14? Continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you've learned them. Now, when he says knowing from whom you've learned them, you think he just was talking about his mother and his grandmother? He learned them from his mother and grandmother. We know that. He mentioned that back in chapter 1. But ultimately, he learns that from God. Any truth that you and I have learned, it's not our mom's truth, our dad's truth. It's God's truth. He's the one from whom we've learned it. And when we turn from it, we're turning from God. And that's where we need to turn back, is to God and His Word. Godliness is a learned behavior. Isaiah 29:22-24, God through Isaiah told His people to learn His doctrine. Isaiah 29:22, doctrine is teaching. Look what He said. Thus says the Lord who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. So the Lord's going to say something concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. These also who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. Those who complained. There were the complainers among the people of God, but they learned doctrine. They would learn God's teaching. We've got to. Does that mean they didn't know the Ten Commandments? That means they weren't living the Ten Commandments. They weren't living the rest of the law. They need to learn that. The things which you've heard from me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. But in the teaching is the commitment to do, to have this habit in our life. For example, 1 Timothy 5:4. Teach them to learn piety at home. Now that's piety. Means honor, respect. Really is the idea of requite. Or as he says, well, it's honor and respect, which he goes on to say, show piety at home and to repay their parents. That is, taking care of the widow as a child or a grandchild. Learn piety at home. That is, learn honor and respect so that you can, what, live it. You can show that honor by actually caring for the widow in your family. Got to learn that conduct. We're taught that conduct, but we learn that conduct by living it, by showing respect to your mother and your father, child, son, daughter, by being an obedient child, showing the piety that they deserve. Your parents deserve to be respected, and God expects that of you. And it's a practice, it's a habit that He expects of us. Learn piety at home. Look again, learning what is good. We're supposed to learn to maintain good works. Titus 3:14. Titus 3:14. Let our people also learn to maintain good works. Don't you know we're supposed to do good works? We know that, we have that information, right? We know we're supposed to do good work. But He said, let them learn to what? To maintain good works. Have the habit, have the conduct. Be accustomed to this. Be addicted to good works, if you will. Have that habit. Verse 8. This faithful saying and the things I want to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable. Learn it. That is, practice it. Have this habit within you. That's what learning is there. We're supposed to learn to be content. Philippians 4:11-13. How do you learn to be content? Well, if we learn to be content by being satisfied in the Lord. He said, I know how I have learned whatever state I'm in to be content. How did he learn it? He learned it by living it. He learned it by doing it. He made it his habit. He didn't just say it, but then when push came to shove, he grumbled and complained and blamed everybody and the whole situation around you. Blame God. No, he learned to be content, to be filled. Because you see, his source of that fullness was Christ. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He had a habit of life. That's what he wants us to learn by doing it. Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned the quality of obedience is defined by what happens to us by being obedient. When we're obedient, the Lord's will is done. But even in the face of suffering, we continue to obey because, you see, when we are committed to obedience, we've no longer committed ourselves to ourselves. We're committed to God and His will, that His will be done. And so in the moment of suffering, by having the habit of doing the Father's will, we learn obedience. Jesus learned it. Not that he didn't know what it was. He knew it, but he practiced it. He did it. You see, he had that habit of life. That's what he wants of us. In 1 Timothy 2:11-12, the word is used again. There, the apostle says, let a woman learn in silence or quietness with all submission. I do not permit a woman to teach or to have authority over a man, but to be in silence. So here he says, women are to learn with quiet attentiveness rather than seizing control to teach over men, to have authority over men. Now there's a habit that must be put in place, a choice that must be made. Here, as women, set this habit of learning with quiet submission and not seizing the control. of teaching over men. Got to learn it. Got to do it. Got to do more than just say it. We got to practice that to actually be learning what is good. The Bible says you did not so learn Christ. If so be that you heard of Him and learned of Him even as truth is in Jesus. We hear of Him in the Word. We learn about Him in the Word. But to learn Christ is more than just know that He lived and died and suffered a lot on a cross. Learning Christ means that we bear the image of Christ in us. We are putting Him on. Remember? As many of you were baptized into Christ, did put on Christ. What does that mean to put on Christ if not to live like He lived? To set the habit of discipleship that He sets before us. So now it comes to this final point. What do we do with what we've learned? And what do we do with what we are learning? You see, learning still demands, taking in the knowledge still demands choosing to do what we learn. So that in fact we learn by the doing. And we establish that as to be who we are. Go back to Ezekiel 18 with me. We read from there earlier. But in Ezekiel 18, pick up the reading in verse 26. It says, "When a righteous man turns away from his righteousness, commits iniquity, and dies in it, it is because of the iniquity which he has done that he dies." Now, he may know what the right thing is. He's a righteous man. He knew it at one time. He was doing what was right. But he turned away from it. He made different choices. He set different habits. He became accustomed to his sin and he dies in his sin. We can know the good, but we're going to have to do it. We've got to learn by doing. When by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. You know what you ought to be teaching, he says. But you have need someone teach you again the rudiments of the first principles of the oracles of God. And have become such as have need of milk and not solid food. You know it, but you haven't grown in it. He said, those who are full grown are the ones who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. By use, by practice, by using God's Word. That's how we learn it, to teach it. So, we've learned the Word of God. We know what God's Word is, but we've got to choose to do it. We've got to choose to actually be active learners by practice. Because, you see, here's the point now. Here's the key. We can unlearn sin. We don't have to keep living in sin. We don't have to keep learning sin. Learn war no more. You can stop learning the evil and you can start learning to do good. Ezekiel 18, 27 and 28, he said, "Again, when a wicked man turns away from the wickedness which he committed and does what is lawful and right, he preserves himself alive because he considers and turns away from all the transgressions which he committed. He shall surely live, he shall not die." There's the hope. And there's the truth of the matter, is we may have had the habit of sin in our life for a very long time, but we can, quote, unlearn that. We can change that. We can learn to do good by making different choices. There will be different outcomes. You see that? When he makes different choices from wickedness to what is righteous, he will live rather than die. Different choices, different outcomes. And so the choice comes to us. Because the slave of sin can become a slave of righteousness. Thanks be to God that whereas you were servants or slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And being made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. We were slaves of sin before we became Christians. That was our habit. That was what we lived. That's what we practiced. We learned it. We learned it well. And we lived it. But now from an obedient heart, we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, repenting of our sin, changing our heart about our sin, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God and being baptized for the remission of our sins. raised to walk in a new life, to now serve righteousness. But to serve righteousness, I actually have to set that pattern, that habit. I have to learn it. By the doing of God's will. Walking in the light. Practicing truth. 1 John 1, 6 and 7. Oh yeah. God does not leave us in despair having practiced sin. He says, come out and be separate and I'll receive you. Therefore, brethren, having these promises, let us perfect holiness in the fear of God. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. So let's close with this thought. Because you can unlearn the sin by repenting. Look at that. In fact, I wanted you to just look at that text with me. Ezekiel 18. I didn't go all the way down. I meant to go to 31, 32. 30 and 31, I'm sorry. Look, he said in 30, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Whether you've learned evil or you've learned good, you've practiced evil or you've practiced good, I'm going to judge you. So here's the course to take. Repent and turn away from all your transgressions so that the iniquity will not be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you've committed. You learned sin, you learned the works of the Canaanites, and they became your works, sinful works. Now cast them off. Change your heart. Change your life. Get a new heart and a new spirit. For why should you die, O house of Israel? Get a new heart. Take what you know to be true and continue in those things. The very Word of God, the truth that frees us from sin. Paul said, the things that you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's be more than people who simply have learned a knowledge and informational truth. Let's then learn it by actually doing it. Set it as our habit, as our course of who it is, so that we may walk with God now and live with God forevermore. If you're not a Christian, become one. Learn Christ. Live for Him. Repent. Confess your faith and be baptized this morning. Or return to the Lord with repentance, with a new spirit, with a new heart, confessing sin to God, and with that repentance and assurance that He'll forgive you as we call upon His name as His people. Won't you come while we stand, while we sing?